morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 36. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to die, the death of the Holy Cross, and a death with global consequences, a death that would truly make possible just what the Pharisees are most afraid of. See, maybe the world is going to go after him. Now, the crowds are enthusiastic on Palm Sunday. We see from John, as many have noted, that it was probably not the same crowd as the one who yelled crucify on Good Friday. But even so, you know the nature of a crowd, fickle, easily led around. And they are not drawn after Christ's death. They're drawn to his signs, to the bread giving, now to the dead raising. The Pharisees' first plan, envious as it may sound, is to put Lazarus to death to stop this mess. It was a far better plan than to put Jesus to death if their goal really was to stop him. Instead, they plot to slay Jesus, which is exactly what must happen, what the Lord, that master of all, is in fact orchestrating even now. And this the crowds do not fully understand. But right as John introduces Jesus into Jerusalem, he also introduces the theme that I sincerely hope we will consider and treasure from now until this summer: the wisdom of God and the glory of God, which is seen when he is dead on the cross as a redemption price for all the world. The wisdom of Christ crucified. Jesus will fall to the earth dead for those who deserve to return to the dust, so that we might be reborn, might burst forth from the grave with him at the last day. And thus, the continual theme throughout the New Testament, even now, after he is risen from the dead. Still, we preach Christ crucified. I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Before your eyes, I publicly portrayed Christ as crucified. The word of the cross is the power of God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the one who has been and now is for all time crucified, who is risen. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. He has set aside the record of debt that stood against us, nailing it to his cross. And then even in the very last words of the Bible, I saw a lamb sitting on the throne, looking as if it had been slain. There are always then crosses in Christian churches. Even when one is veiled, even when another one was added only to be covered up later, there's still one showing. There's still another here and here. Can we ever enter into a church without our eyes being drawn to that image of the cross? No. That is very good. It's a discipline for us to veil the cross even for just a week or two, because we love this sight so much. When it returns to our sight on Good Friday, then we dare to say, we venerate your cross, O Lord. We praise and glorify your holy resurrection, for by virtue of your cross, joy has come into all the world. Even so, let us not forget what the cross means and why we treasure its sight. Jesus is the one who makes the cross holy. This is the reason why we cherish that image of the crucifix above all others. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. When the cross is again uncovered during the chief service or other services on Good Friday, we cry out, behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. Oh, come, let us worship him. And that's exactly right. Surely we do not worship wood or relics or pictures or stories. We worship a man. We worship a man who is our God. We worship Christ Jesus, and we worship Him, yes, as the crucified one. Every time that we come up to worship at the feast, at the divine service on the Lord's Day, we make the very same request that these Greeks made who came to Philip. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And how did Jesus honor that request? It sounds like he ignores it, but not at all. He pointed them to where, yes, Greeks as well as Jews may find him, and find him not as a miracle worker, not as a philosopher, not as just a moral man or a pious prophet, but as their very salvation. When he was hanged on the cross, he pointed them to himself crucified, even before it had happened. That is where Jesus is in his true glory for sinners. That is how he is to be worshiped, and yes, how he is to be preached among us. To the Jews, a scandal. To the Gentiles, stupidity. To those like you, dear saints, who are called, he is Christ crucified, and even then, especially then, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the redemption of all the world. Would you see Jesus? Then hear his word and come to his altar. For crosses are always marking it. Say what you want about the rest of this altarpiece. It's fitting that Christ crucified is depicted in the center and depicted directly above the place where the body and the blood of Christ is given out to us. Never shy away from the cross of Christ and look for something else. This painful event is, in fact, our highest good. And the serpent's deadly bite and your death have landed on his heel instead. And that means that the ancient foe lies crushed underneath. So let us go after him also. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.